verses 6 and 7. It's a familiar passage to us. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Our last reading is from Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 17. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile, to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
I'd like to invite kids to come down. Have a seat in the stable. Don't, careful on the bales. Don't lean back. Good job, you guys. You know, I try and tell you how important you are, but the last two Sundays have been really good examples of how important young people, children, and even babies are to the Lord Jesus. Okay? Last Sunday, if you remember, we were talking about John the Baptist. And God said that Elizabeth would have a baby boy and that he would be the forerunner to tell everyone about Jesus coming. And so while John was still inside his mother's tummy, while he was still in there in the womb, as he was growing, the Holy Spirit was already working on him. In fact, one of the sections I didn't read today yet, one of the sections said, when Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, the baby inside Elizabeth's belly started to leap because the baby was aware that Mary was pregnant with baby Jesus. Already this small. That's the first one. Then today, we're reading and hearing about Mary. Now, I want you to understand, we don't know exactly how old Mary was, but we think she was somewhere between 13 to 17.
That's young.
That's young. But in that culture, girls were raised to be ready to be married by 13, 14, 15, 16, or 17. And so here's what's really neat about Mary. Mary is an unbelievably wonderful girl. You understand? I'm going to try and share that in the sermon. I want you to listen to it. Because Mary was such a convicted Christian already, or a follower of Jesus, that when the angel came to her, eventually she said, how can this be? I don't understand how this can happen. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will make this happen in your life and in your body. And then, here's the neat part. Mary goes, let it be as you have said, I'm ready to serve Jesus any way I can. Now that was part of it. Then the very next chapter, which we'll maybe get to next Sunday, she recites a prayer. And you can always tell what's in people's hearts by the way they pray. That's why I tell your moms and dads, make you start praying at home right away, or pray with you every night before you go to bed, because that shows what's going on in your heart when you're talking to the Lord Jesus. And Mary's talk to the Lord Jesus is filled with the love of God, with quotes from Scripture, and just a marvelous person that this young woman actually was already. So I want you to remember this. The sermon today is to remind you how important little ones are to Jesus, including you guys. So I want you to remember that. Can you do that for me? I want you to try it, because that's part of what the sermon's about, all right? Good. There you go. Miss Candy Lady's over here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Turned around now, huh? Look, they all found their way back home. Eventually. This is a fascinating little section we're studying today. It's the Annunciation of the birth of Jesus to Mary. It's something we've grown accustomed to, and in one way we take it for granted, because we just kind of go, I've heard the story before, what are you going to say? What's going to be different? And those are the kind of things that can fill up our minds. And the difficulty, of course, is to try and help people understand the significance of what's happening to this, what, 13, 14, 15-year-old girl? In the middle of her life, she's been taken from the circumstances she's known. She's nobody in one sense externally, particularly wonderful, beautiful, or anything else. But in terms of character, that's revealed in Scripture. That is revealed in the way she answers people. That is the way she responds to the angel. She at first responds with terror. That's reasonable. She was agitated. It was not something she expected. And so here's this angel that appears in terms of that, and it says that he comes and he approaches this girl who is a virgin. The word Parthenon or Parthenion, if you have ever heard that word, is a Greek word for that. And so here she is, and the angel is telling her that you are highly favored. God's got his eye on you. Now, everybody functions a little bit as a believer that God's got his eye on us, but nothing in particular says, God's got his eye on me, and I better figure out what I'm doing or anything else. But she is told, you're highly favored. of all the women you have been chosen. Now, you've got to understand, people who are born in Israel, particularly the women, were always looking forward to the birth of the child that would bring rescue for them. In other words, every young woman, as she begins to grow, is reminded that one day a child would be born to a woman, and that child then would make a difference in the lives of those people, and he would be the Savior. So in terms of growing up, they grew up with an expectation, an anticipation of the possibility that they might be the very person that was chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, the promised one. I don't think they quite anticipated, even though Scripture points it out, quite anticipated what it was going to be like in all of its implications. But here's Mary, stunned, agitated, surprised, and all kinds of different words that we can use. And in the middle of that particular situation, she begins to respond with an unbelievable insight and wisdom. And into that, we begin to pick up this. It goes, she was totally disturbed at this thing, and she started to think things through. How in the world can this be true about me? She was having difficulty. She must have had a good enough relationship with God, because she, in one sense, she doesn't question the angel. She just asks a very singular question. She says, how can this be? I've not been with any man. I've not known any man. How can this be true about me? Or how can this happen? Because there is no way that I can be pregnant. There's no way that that can be happening. And so the angel immediately redirects her and says, the Spirit of God will come upon you. And that is the way that you're going to become pregnant. Remember in Genesis when the Spirit of the Lord is moving across the face of the waters? And the Spirit of the Lord, as they begin to create everything, is working in the middle of the creation. He looks at her and he tries to remind her, nothing is impossible, by that illustration he gives her. And so the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will be with child. And then it goes on to say this. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David. Mary asks the question, how can this be, since I've been with absolutely no man? And the angel responded, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And what will be born through you will be holy. And she just quiets down at that point. She gets her, how can this be, answered. And in that moment, you begin to understand, this is not any ordinary, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 year old. This is a young woman who thinks deeply, who has a relationship with God, who's functioning at a level that I want to encourage our kids to understand. God is looking for that kind of intensity and that kind of relationship with you. And so the angel adds that little dimension for her. She says, and your cousin, all right, Elizabeth, is already 6 months pregnant. She's going to be having a baby. Now, that has been in the Bible before. That one, she had a place to file. At least Mary could go, all right, I know about Sarah. I know about others. I know about Hannah, people who hadn't been able to have children. And God opens that up, and they begin to have children at that point. And that becomes a particularly wonderful thing for them. And yet, at the same time, she has to file in here. The angel is putting this download of information, of preciousness, of value, of worth that she has, even as a young child to woman, depending upon how you want to view that particular age. And then when Mary finally gets over everything, it says that the first thing she does is she packs up, she goes into the mountains and goes and spends about 2 or 3 months with her sister, or with her cousin Elizabeth, who's pregnant. You want to guess why she went there? Who else could she tell that she's pregnant? And you've got this kind of story within a story going on, because she's still a human girl. She's still dealing with environment, people's opinions, how they will look at her. How can you possibly be pregnant? You're so young. That's not where you should be. What have you been doing? How have you been living? And there would also be an attitude shift toward Joseph. Because they were not just engaged like we think of engagements. They say more than 50% of engagements break off. This was a legal contract, a binding contract that she and Joseph had, that he was going to very quietly release her from. And so I've got that other text from you that Matthew puts in there to talk about Joseph, her husband, who's already married to her, hasn't been alone with her, has not consummated the marriage, but in that particular reality, she begins to understand God is working in that situation too. And so at first, Joseph had to consider, I'm not a fool. This is something brand new. No one has ever talked about this. I haven't even read about this in one sense in Scripture, although it's found in Scripture, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. Joseph had to think through what in the world makes Mary that person. And as he gets ready to potentially put her away quietly, we would say divorce her quietly, without any fanfare, without any shame, without any embarrassment, without anything like that in her life, he instead gets visited by an angel himself. And the angel takes him aside and tells him, don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary to be your wife, because what is growing within her is from God. It's the hand of God upon her life. And Joseph does an unbelievable, significant thing. He does exactly what the angel told him to do. He doesn't question. It just simply says, and he obeyed. And he did what the angel said, and he took Mary to be his wife. Please understand, he would have to deal with ribbing, teasing, funny looks, and everything else like that also. Because that was part of the circumstance of those kind of situations. Why is she pregnant already? In our culture today, we may or may not have that same sensitivity, but the reality is certainly at this time there would have been very much of that. But he obeys. Now, the thing that I want you to notice is that their lives are set in total disarray in one sense, totally upended. Mary is having to go to visit her cousin. And in this situation, she's got to deal with the fact she's pregnant, engaged to Joseph, and all the different things related to that. And Joseph has got to deal with where's Mary, what's going on, and all the things related to that. And yet, there's a peace that's demonstrated in both their responses. Mary gets to the end of the when she begins to say this. Mary said, behold, as a bondslave of the Lord, be it unto me according to the words that you have shared. And the angel left her. As you wish, let it be as you have said. And so here's Mary, young girl, being told this earth-shattering, life-changing experience, not only just to her body and physically and all the changes that that implies, but to her socially, emotionally, and everything else. And in that particular moment, you hear this absolute quiet, reverent peace at the end. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And then Joseph, who's in the middle of his own turmoil and uncertainties as a man in this particular culture, having to have a wife who was supposed to prove to be faithful. Engagements usually lasted about a year, and it was designed to primarily prove faithfulness and the fact that she wasn't pregnant or anything else like that. And yet here, in this total turnover and experience, Joseph steps forward and in absolute peace takes Mary to be his wife. Now that's the kind of situation I want us to try and be sensitive to as we prepare and understand Advent. Our lives are not always predictable. Situations are not going to be easy. The fact that he found Mary worthy of that kind of love and respect and nurturing was not enough in one situation, because at that point, she had to still deal with all the emotions, all the physical changes, all the things that she was going to undergo, and still, without fear, she moved forward in absolute faithfulness and obedience and an unbelievable tenderness toward God. As you will, Lord. I am your bond slave, is really what she said. Your bond maiden. You own me, is another way to say it. Not quite like that in the Greek, but that's that kind of flavor. You own me. Whatever you want, I'm ready for it. No anger, no bitterness. Same thing with Joseph. Not even an argument. The angel appears and he does exactly what the angel told him to do. I don't want to necessarily blow Mary up into something that we start to worship and praise. Obviously, that's not where God wants us to go. On the other hand, I'd like to know if we have an 11, 12, 13, 15, 17-year-old boy or girl that has the kind of faith to walk that totally different path. Because even as an old guy, when God asks me to walk a path I don't particularly want to walk, it gets to be quite a turmoil. And I can find myself arguing with God. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go in that direction. I don't want things to be the way these things are. And I can understand all of that even as an old person. But here, in the tenderness of her youth, in the tenderness of her vulnerability, her purity, and everything else, she sets a tone for you and I. She sets a tone for how we need to live in our situations and in our circumstances. And that situation has to be one where I trust what Jesus is doing in my life, even if it doesn't go right now in the direction I think it needs to go. God's peace is not built on whether your life is moving in the direction you want it to move. That's not the peace that God's going to offer you. And this is a perfect illustration of that. This is a reality of I have a job for you to do, and it will take you to places you can't hardly begin to consider. And your youngness and your youth is not going to be limiting the things that I'm going to need from you or expect from you. Or I'll add another dimension, your age does not exempt you because now you're older. God says, I still have things for you to do, people for you to communicate with, things for you to interact with. And so in that process, we begin to understand how these two stories come together. And you begin to understand this beautiful young woman whose heart is set apart unto Jesus, this wonderful young man whose heart is set apart unto Jesus, are both in submission as they move forward. And still, you know the rest of the story. They didn't even know the rest of the story. This is what was heading for the baby Jesus. That situation where they had no room for them in the inn was a situation where she was going to have to deal with having a child out there in the middle of the situation, out in the stable or wherever they happen to be. And that's the setting. And still, they walk forward. And still, throughout the Christmas story, you hear of the tenderness, the wisdom, and the faithfulness of Joseph and Mary. Try to understand. God's trying to set something. Remember, I want to prepare a people ready for me. I need to have you ready for anything that needs to come into your life or circumstance. Don't assume it's going to be easy. Don't assume that you won't have to deal with a stable or a manger. Don't assume that your situation is going to be perfect. Don't even assume for a second that everything that you thought was going to be is going to turn out that way because you're faithful to God. God is calling for faithfulness, and Mary demonstrates it. Mary exhibits it. And so does Joseph. And so into that setting, you and I participate as we say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And that's so difficult because there's so many things I want God to change in my life, don't you? So many things you want to fight with God about. How far from Mary is my personality? How far from Joseph is my obedience? How I can talk but not live it out. How difficult is it sometimes to be the man that God's calling me to be? And so try to understand what God is doing in this particular moment. He's opening our eyes to the reality of how Mary and Joseph both were brought into a Christmas story, not to read about it like you and I get to do sitting in a comfortable chair. You know there is no record of a donkey for Mary to ride on. That's a nice picture on your Christmas card. But there's no donkey in the Bible. And if you owned a donkey, you were considered rich. Mary and Joseph weren't rich. So guess how she got from where she was down to Bethlehem? 8 and 9 months pregnant. If ever you've had a walk, you begin to understand. That was not easy. Nothing about this situation was easy for Mary and Joseph, but one thing. Apparently their ability to trust and get their peace resting that God has got things under control. And so as you and I approach Christmas, as we move into our next year, even in the uncertainties of what we're living with and the situations of our lives around us, try to understand God wants us to copy, follow in that degree of faithfulness. Pray with me if you would. Lord Jesus, how precious that young Mary was. How tender, how faithful, how deep a faith she lived with and had. Come and comfort her, Lord, and comfort us as we try and see and hear the depth of her commitment to you and Joseph's faithfulness to the leading of your Spirit and the love they must have demonstrated to one another. Lord, have mercy on us. Carry us through the circumstances we are in. Make our Christmas more than just a celebration of presents and a tree and some lights. Make it, Lord, a step of faithfulness, of obedience, of following you in every situation. Come and bless us all and open the floodgates of heaven to release upon us your grace and mercy and encouragement. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen.